It's great to be with you today. Not just to share God's word with you, but actually to be in New Zealand. Can I take this out? Awesome. There we go. I don't know about you, but the last 2 years have been really hard. COVID, the Ukrainian war, inflation this year. We all thought at the beginning of this year that life was going to get better and back to normal. And I have to say, actually being able to fly into New Zealand was an absolute joy for the fact that life seems to be getting back to normal. Never before in my lifetime has so many things been shaken and changed as it has in the last 2 years. And I would say never before do we actually need to press into God's voice to have certainty and confidence about what he's wanting us to do. And I love just a reminder in the Hebrews passage about having courage. The way that we have courage is to know and be confident the direction that God is leading us to be going. And to know the direction that God is leading us to go requires us to hear God's voice. So today I want us to think about I'm not going to necessarily talk about the tin tacks of how are the different ways to hear God's voice, because you have an amazing resource in your church through Kathleen who's able to help and guide you in that space. But I want us to actually think about a couple of things about how to increase God's presence in our daily life. So I want us to start with God. To think about God. Now, a few years ago, my son, who is now in his late 20s, I don't know, when you have kids, when they're first born, you describe them by days and weeks. And as they get older, it's months and years. And when they get into their 20s, it just turns into about. He's about 20-something. And so he's in his late 20s. And so when he learnt to drive, I was the one that took him out first. And we hopped in the car and we're driving along, and as he's accelerating towards a power pole, I found myself saying these words, "Stop!" And then I said, "I'm really sorry, get out." And so I said, "We're going to go home. We're going to have your birthday dinner." It was on his birthday. "We're going to have your birthday dinner. Dad is going to take you out after dinner and everything will be okay." And it was. David, being an engineer, described to Matt how to do the clutch and the accelerator in a way that I couldn't possibly do it, and Matt was fine. Now, when David was learning to drive, his parents sent him to a driving course, and the instructor said to this group of 18-year-old boys, I think, "What's the riskiest kilometre you will ever travel?" And you might think, well, it's the kilometre before you get home, or it's the kilometre when it's raining. But the riskiest kilometre you will ever travel or drive in a car is the next kilometre. And I want to suggest today that the riskiest kilometre we are travelling is the next season that we are going into. And so when we're driving a car, we all know that we need to be alert and aware all the time for the next kilometre to make sure that we don't have an accident. And so it is with life, that we need to be alert and aware of God's presence in our life so that we can make sure that we are travelling in the right way. So we start with God. An awareness of who God is. God breathes life into us. He's with us through the power of the Holy Spirit. And John affirms this in John 14. "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." I love this passage. And it relates to John 10, because in John 10, Jesus is talking about leading us. We hear his voice, we respond to him. And Jesus affirms this again in John 14. "I will not leave you as orphans." And he says, the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, will teach you all things, will remind you of everything I've said. Peace I leave with you. And then further on, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not be afraid. Amazing words to help us with our posture towards God. Do not be troubled. Do not be afraid. And man, I have to say, in the last 2 years, there's been a whole lot of trouble and a whole lot of fear. This same Spirit that was at the commencement of creation, who raised Jesus from the dead, who was poured out on the church at Pentecost, is with us. Hence why we can learn to recognize God's voice through the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Now, there's this amazing thing at the start of the Bible in Genesis 1 where we see that God's voice has such power. Genesis 1 talks about, and God said. And it's a continual phrase that we see through. God created by speaking. And it's exactly the same for us, that we need to be reminded that God's voice has power and life as he breathes that on us. So this big, powerful God sees us, knows us, and is with us. So if you think God is big and powerful, you need to expand your thinking, because God is bigger and more powerful than you could ever imagine. So I want you to pause right now. How do you see God today? Do you see him as a distant God who's disinterested in your life? Maybe like the movies portray, a God who sends lightning down to smite people when they do the wrong thing. Or do you see God as the loving, kind, joyful, peace-filled, forbearing, good, faithful, gentle God? Fruits of the Spirit in Galatians 5, they reflect the character of God. A God who seeks us out, who breathes life into us, who doesn't want to leave us as orphans, abandoned or alone, who's closer than our every breath. So living a life of hearing God needs us to embrace an awareness of God, that he wants good things in our lives, that he wants us to thrive. So a God who is amazing encapsulates the beauty and the joy and is the most joy-filled being in the universe, invites us to journey with him in life, to invite him into the activity of our week. So God wants you to be the best teacher, the best lawyer, nurse, IT person, whatever IT people do, dancer, health educator, chaplain, parent, grandparent, carer. He wants you to be the best and to provide wisdom in each of the circumstances that we go into. So I want you to think about your week that's coming, the activity in your week. And I want you to think about the points that you can actively invite God into those moments. Being aware of him. Now, years ago, I worked for the state government of Victoria, and I got given a project, and I'd been working on it for 6 months. And my director came to me saying, we have to brief the minister on your project tomorrow, and I would like a one-page summary by 10 o'clock tomorrow. Could you do that? Excellent. And I'm sitting there thinking, how do I summarise 6 months of my work into one page? And I went home that night going, God, I need your wisdom. I need you to help me work this out. And the next morning I woke up and there was a beautiful map of how I needed to allocate all of the information to present. And so I went into work, I developed this table, I popped it on my supervisor's desk, and they came back to me going, you're amazing. Now, I knew that it was God who gave me that. And so if you think that God is only interested and available in church, think again, because he's there wanting to give you wisdom for each and every day. So our awareness of God. And the next thing I want us to suggest is that we need to think about our availability. God doesn't want us to be perfect before we listen to him, before we respond to him. God wants us to turn to him just as we are. He wants us to be available. Kath Livesey says two of the most powerful words we can say to God are, "I'm available." When we choose to step out in a little, God always gives us more. So the old hymn in the second verse, "Just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fighting and fears within, without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come." God wants us to come. So to learn to hear God means turning our attention and our awareness to him in the moments of our everyday life. It means dialing down busyness and hurriedness and increasing our willingness to be interrupted by God. Dallas Willard would say that to be disciples of God requires us to ruthlessly eliminate hurry. Being hurried reduces our awareness of God's voice in our life. A few weeks ago, I felt a nudge to contact a friend. We'd been walking together over lockdown, and we'd lost touch because the busyness of life had just that lost its importance. So I contacted her, and she immediately came back saying, "I'd love to go for a walk." And when we caught up on that day, I sat there thinking, gee, I wonder if I can reschedule. I've got a bit on today. And I just felt a nudge of the Spirit saying, no. And so I went, and we spent an hour with her talking about some incredible challenges in her life. And I walked away thinking, oh, Lord, I'm so grateful for your nudge. I'm so grateful that I didn't just put it off because of busyness. The Hebrews reading today reminds us not to harden our hearts. And I sometimes wonder if busyness is the biggest killer to softness of heart with God. This phrase, "do not harden your heart," appears in the broader chapter a number of times, and it references Psalm 95. One Bible commentator suggests that to not harden our hearts is to do not render the heart insensible to the divine voice and admonition. This suggests that a natural consequence of ignoring God's voice will be that our hearts will be hardened. Now, I have no doubt that no one here wants to have a hard heart, that we all desire to hear God's voice and be more aware of his presence. But sometimes doing that and being available for interruption seems like too big a jump. And I'd like to suggest that the first step to maintaining a soft heart is to tell God we're available, to seek to get better at recognizing his voice. And the good news is that this is a skill we can get better at. Just like reading the Bible, just like praying, learning to recognize God's voice is a skill we can learn. And Kathleen is a great resource for your church. So I just want you to think very quickly, who are the people that God has placed in your life that he wants you to encourage to come closer to Jesus? What might be a word of encouragement that you might have for them? So just as you're sitting there, maybe a name has popped into your head that happened to me. Who are the people that God has placed in your life that he wants you to encourage? And as you think about them, what could you do to encourage them? And exactly that process that you're going through now is the third point that I want us to think about, and that is being active responders to God's word. Being active responders is as simple as working out a next action step. What does God want you to do? Maybe it's a reminder to give that encouragement to someone. So we think about, what is God saying to us? What does it mean? And what do I need to do about it? And it then, in the faithful words of Nike, we just need to do it. It's all very well to make plans, but if we actually don't do it, the plans are fruitless. Taking small steps in easy ways means that we will go far in the long run. Now, I don't want to be that crazy Christian in the workplace that people avoid. But I do want to be someone who lives out of the overflow of the work of the Spirit, so that I can bring joy and peace to those that I meet and I encounter. And I want to use normal language when I'm doing it. Hey, I was thinking about you the other day, and this thought came to mind. Or if I want to take a bit of a risk, I was praying for you and I felt like God might be saying. The more frequently we practice hearing God, the quicker we grow in confidence and accuracy. It's just the way it is. So I wonder if God's already spoken to you this morning throughout your service. And as you are aware of what he's already said, what's an easy thing for you to do next out of that? And as you keep doing this practical exercise of what is God saying to me, being aware of God in my everyday life, and then taking the next step, we grow in confidence and we get quicker at doing it. In my church is a lady called Rosie. Now, Rosie is an incredibly gifted musician. She's a trained opera singer. If you want someone to sing happy birthday that hits a high A, we get Rosie to do it, because Rosie's amazing. Rosie came along to a prophecy course that we were running, and she said to me, I don't think I hear God very well, so we would give people homework. And she came back 1 week, and she said, you know, I was listening for a word for this person, and it took me 2 hours. Because she was diligent. She wanted to make sure that what she said was right, that God was speaking through her. And we were praying one day, and I had an image for her of this beautiful waterfall of presence just pouring over her. And as I explained this to her, she started crying, and she said, when I was 7, my parents gave me birthday presents, and then they took them back because I hadn't been good enough. And in the moment of this image, God healed her of that hurt. Because I just explained, all I said was to her was, there was this waterfall of presents and it's never ending. And God just wants you to know he is always giving you more and more presents. Now, I said that to her before she explained her experience. And then a few months later, we go months or down the track, she's praying with me. And she's like, Christine, it's awesome. I just go to the waterfall and I imagine taking one of these presents and I open it and give it to someone else. And as she's praying for other people, she's pulling out words of just amazing prophetic words that she's blessing other people with. So if you're sitting here today thinking, I can't hear God, I've never heard God, this is never going to happen, I want to encourage you that this is a skill you can learn and you can grow in. Because God is wanting to bring life, he's wanting to bring a sense of purpose, and he's wanting to let you know that he sees you, he knows you, and he is calling you. And he deeply loves you. Because when we have a sense of God's presence in our life and his guidance, we can have confidence and courage as we step out into the next stage. And as you as a church dig into what is God saying to you as a church, the purpose that he's placed over your church, you can have confidence as you move forward. What an amazing opportunity with the building to see what God is going to do to use that place to minister to others. So I'm excited for you. So as we finish up, God's voice is powerful. He is present with us and he participates in our everyday life. We can be lifelong learners of hearing God and responding to him. And as we actively respond to God, the more we do that, the more we grow in confidence and accuracy. But I just want to remind us, the covenant relationship that God has with us, that he wants to speak words of affirmation over you to bring life into your circumstances. So Kathleen and I will be available. We will be offering prayer during communion and after the service, and we would love to pray with you. But I also encourage you to pray together, to actually be asking God as you're coming forward for communion, is there someone here that he's wanting you to encourage today? And what would be that word of encouragement for them? So it's been a blessing to share with you this morning, and I pray that God would continue the great work that he's started in your midst. Amen.